Well, we learn this morning in this excerpt that it is a prayer for David. It's a psalm of David, and it's supposed to have been composed at a time when Saul was persecuting David, or when he was being run out of Jerusalem by Absalom. When David was being persecuted by Saul, we can find this in the book of 1 Samuel. And we all know the story of David and Goliath, and we learned that story as a young child. We learned that David, as a young boy, killed Goliath and won the war. He overtook the Philistines and became a favorite among the people. Well, King Saul was the king at that time, and he was used to being the favorite of the people. So when David grew in popularity, King Saul grew very jealous. And the Bible tells us that when David was anointed to be the future king, that the anointing went out of King Saul. He was very angry and plotted to kill David. Well, Saul's only son came to him and said, "Dad, why do you want to kill David? He's done nothing to you. He brought us the head of Goliath and won the war, so you shouldn't kill him for no reason." And Saul was first convinced, and he decided not to kill David. But as the Bible tells us and the story unfolds, we learn that an evil spirit took possession of Saul, and he took a spear or a javelin and went to kill David. And as the story tells us, he ducked, and that javelin, that spear, was in the rock, and David fled for his life. So this could have been the time that this prayer was written. David was fleeing for his life and calling on God, "God, save me. Give me your strength, O God." He was fearful and afraid. Or it could have been written when Absalom, by the way, was his son, chased him out of Jerusalem. And that story is found in 2 Samuel. And as Pastor Carolyn talked to the children this morning, how cute and sweet they are. Yes, they are. But when your own children rise up against you, that's a very hurtful and painful thing. We learned that Absalom had some issues going on. He had some anger issues. He was angry because his older half-brother had raped his sister, so he killed him. We also learn later in the scripture that Absalom was power thirsty. He wanted to be the king of the land instead of his dad. He didn't want to wait till his turn. He wanted to speed things along a little bit. So he got with his boys, and they were concocting this scheme to overturn David. And David heard of his son's plan, and he fled, again, fleeing for his life. And you might wonder, we know David was a skilled warrior. Why was he running from his son? The Bible tells us that these were some of the darkest days for David. He had lots of stress and anxiety, but because he was a skilled warrior, he thought of his troops and the soldiers that he would have taken with him to fight off of his son. And David knew that he needed time for a strategy. He needed time to get supplies together, time to get food together. And if he rushed to fight and defend himself, then he probably would have a lot of soldiers dead. So he thought of the lives of his soldiers. So that's why he was fleeing quickly to get away from his son. He was hurt. He was anxious. He was very scared because his son was plotting to kill him. So I titled my message this morning, "When You Cry Out to the Lord." Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, maker of heaven and earth, we thank you for this day and the ability to come to you in your house of praise, to praise you just one more time as we study your word and listen to this message. Your God, I pray that you anoint and magnify your word and hide me behind your word so they don't see me, but they see you, oh God. We pray to see the Psalm of David as another example of your faithfulness and your love for us. Give us courage, oh God, to cry out to you, because you will always recognize our voices. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I read the psalm several times, and for those of you that were here before, you know I was going to deliver this message in June and got a little bit under the weather and had to redo it or postpone it. So I've had some time with this scripture, and I read each line several times, and I wondered, what makes this psalm so special? Why is this one written this way? David was the author of several psalms, as we know, and some of the historians said he wrote over 100 of them, so he had a lot of reasons to cry out to God. They're not sure the exact number, and they argue over which ones that he authored. But I'm not going to focus on that today. I'm going to focus on David and when he called out to the Lord, and more specifically, how David called out to God and why David cried out to God. And I didn't have to look very far, because when you look in the scripture itself, it's very simple. When, how, and why David called out to the Lord is very clear in the text. This particular text is very plain, as you heard. It wasn't poetic. It didn't have elevated language. It wasn't complicated to understand. David is straightforward, and he gets to the point. So I simply went through each line, and I colored one how, or I labeled that line why, or I labeled the line when. And when I finished reading all the verses, the scripture and the sermon kind of unfolded itself. When did David cry out to God? We cry out to God when we're in trouble, don't we? Line 7 says, in the day of my trouble, I will call upon you, O God. And we know that David learned early as a boy to call out to God. And he learned that when you call out to God, you get God's attention. And we know that when a newborn baby is born, the first thing they do is cry. They cry as a means of getting our attention. It's a means of getting their needs met. And I read an article this past week, by the way, about babies, and it said that babies cry for 12 different reasons. And then I read another article that said babies cry for 9 different reasons. So no matter what those reasons are, babies cry to get our attention. And the article was saying, well, when their diapers are pinched or they're too tight or the diaper is dirty, they cry. If you leave the baby unattended and it's laying there too long and it's ignored, the baby cries. If you pass it from grandparent to grandparent, the aunt to uncle, the cousin, it gets overwhelmed. So babies cry. When babies are scared and frightful, they cry. When their tummies hurt, so when they're in pain, they cry. Well, they also cry when they have gas, but that's another reason baby cry when they're gas. And I don't know if David prayed when he had gas or not, but these two mirror the times when David cried out to God. A lot of these same reasons. They cry to communicate, to get a message to us, because they have a need that need to be met. So we cry to be heard. And as a matter of fact, the baby's very first cry is loud and long. And when a baby's cry is nice and loud and long, it says that I'm here, I'm healthy, I'm scared, and they're totally, totally dependent upon us. They're totally dependent upon mommy and daddy. Like David, he cried psalm after psalm after psalm to his father who art in heaven, just like a baby. In verse 3, it says, for I cry to you all day long, God. David cried to God often, and he didn't want to be ignored by God. Several Psalm 17 says, I've called out to you, God. Psalm 40 says, I'm afflicted and I'm needy again, God. And then Psalm 130 says, out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. Hear my voice and let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplication. So David has a history of crying out to God. And when I ask, how did David cry out to God? It is a pattern and example for us, because when I look through the lines, David cried out, the title tells us, through prayer. We call out to God through prayer. This title of the scripture is A Prayer of David. And when we look closer at each line, there are specific details to notice how David cried out to God, and use this as an example. If you notice the first line, David humbled himself first. Verse 1 says, I'm poor and I'm needy, God. So David's already acknowledging, I'm nothing without you, God. I need you, Heavenly Father. Verse 4 says, for to you, O Lord, I lift up my soul, my everything I'm giving to you, God. And the fact that David is lifting up his soul, he's telling us his lowly position in the world. God is high and I'm low. Verse 2 says, you are my God. Well, in that time in the Philistines, they were all worshiping idols and just crazy and off the hook, worshiping everything tied down. But David worshiped God, and he wanted him to know, God, you are my God. Because the Bible tells us that we're supposed to humble ourselves before our God and to seek from him the right way for us and our little ones and all our possessions. And as I read more, I said, David spoke specifically. He spoke with specificity. And the Bible tells us to make our requests known unto God. David spoke clearly. David spoke directly, because the very first verse, he says, bow down your ear, God. Nothing to misinterpret there. Verse 16, give your strength to your servant. And verse 17, for example, says, show me a sign for good, O God. He's talking to God directly in short, powerful sentences. He's being direct. The Bible tells us to be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, to make our requests known to God. When I continue to read, I realize that not only did David pray specifically, but he prayed with anticipation, knowing that God would answer. Because verse 7, he just says affirmingly, for you will answer me, O God. And just like babies, when they're crying, when they're newborn, they cry with a passion that, like, they'll never cry before, because they know, they learn early that when they cry, somebody comes. They cry until they pass out, a lot of the babies. But when they pass out anticipating that someone will come. And why did David cry out to God? Because the Lord was his help in a time of trouble. Verse 17 says, because you, Lord, have helped me and comforted me. In the past, even as a young boy, when David was giving his rebuttal to Saul as a child to fight the giant, he told Saul, the Lord delivered me from the power of the lion, and the Lord delivered me from the power of the bear. So I know he'll deliver me from the hands of this Philistine. So he was just a young boy, and he was fervently speaking about the power of God. So as he got older, he had even more need to call on God. So he was going on a track record that God will always be there for us. Verse 10 says, you are great and do wondrous things, O God. You are alone, are my God. And we all know that we serve a mighty God. Verse 8 says, among the gods, there is none like you, O God. They may worship idols, but there's none like you, O God. For you, Lord, are good. And another reason David wanted to pray to God, the verse right here tells us that God was ready to forgive him. God was waiting and ready. And that's why David prayed to God. He had favor with God. He was walking right with God. He had a relationship with God. And when I look again, why did David cry out to God? That's what the righteous do. That's what we do when we love God. We cry out to God. We cry out to God. And it made me think of the story of a righteous man who was diagnosed with a terminal illness, and he had a short time to live, and he called all his family to his bedside at the hospital. He called his two brothers who hadn't spoken in a couple of years. They were in business together, and one of them had embezzled some money or something, and they were at each other's throat, and they hadn't spoken for about 3 years. He called them, and they came, arguing all the way, but they came. He called his sister, who had a son who was fighting a demon of drugs, and he was in and out of rehab, and the mom, she was just stressed. She was tired. She just had had enough. He called them to his bedside as well, and they all came running because they knew that the uncle, this was his last few weeks to live. His wife was there, and they all prayed, and he looked at his brothers, and he said, I am praying on my deathbed that you all put down this foolishness, put down this arguing over this embezzlement, because I want you to focus on what's important, and that's each other, your gift to each other, your brothers. You shouldn't be arguing. And they looked at each other, and they vowed to do their best. He looked at his nephew, and he said, son, I know you're struggling with drugs, but I'm going to pray for you right here on my deathbed. I want you to go to rehab, and I want you to stay. Don't get out. Just stay. And he prayed for his sister, and he said, I know that you have an estranged relationship with your son. You're tired. You're fed up. But love him unconditionally. Do that for me on my deathbed. And he prayed and thanked his wife for always being by his side, because she was a righteous woman, too. They all stayed at the foot of his bed, and they vowed to do their best. So they went off and they tried to do those things that the dying request had made of them. And everybody was happy, and he went into remission. And everybody was really, really happy. But as fate would have it, about 3 months later, he was back ill again. And his disease had come back even stronger. And he only had a few days to live. And everybody came rushing back this time. And as they all reported, the brothers said, we're doing our best. We're trying to trying to work this out. And the nephew said, I'm doing my best. I'm trying to work this out. And in the end, he passed. And when we were at the funeral, the nephew said, Auntie, I just don't understand this God thing. I just don't understand. I don't understand how God works. We prayed for healing, and we prayed for healing, and it got better. And we did all the things that he asked us to do, and then he still died. So what is going on with this God thing? I just don't understand it, how God works. And Auntie, being the righteous woman that she was, she looked at her and she said, well, son, you see, your uncle was a righteous man, and he walked right with God, and he had a strong life, prayer life with God, and he built a strong relationship with God like David. He knew that when we cry out through prayer continuously, and that does make our relationship strong with Christ. He humbled himself, he prayed specific, and his prayer was answered, and he was delivered healing. But when the righteous cry out, we know that the Lord hears our voices. He also knew that God delivers us sometimes from our troubles because he's gone on to glory. He's not in pain anymore. You know, your uncle knew that the Lord is near to those who have a broken heart, and your mommy's heart has been broken a long time, and now she's loving you and praying to love you unconditionally, and that's healing. Your uncle knew that God saves those with a humble, sorrowful, remorseful spirit like you. You're praying and you're trying to stay in rehab, and that's healing. She said, but you know, son, the biggest thing that your uncle knew was that healing doesn't always look the way that we think that it's going to look. He knew that prayers of the righteous avail as much. Let us pray. Dear God, hear our stressful cries, for we're needy, Lord, and unworthy of your attention. Thank you for sending your son, Jesus, who died on the cross to save us from our sins. Because of Jesus, we can stand right here today and give you praise. We can cry out to you, Lord, by name. We pray to continue to be your servant like David. We pray to love you, Lord, like David. We pray to thank you for your mercy like David. And we pray specifically this morning, God, with anticipation of your answer, just like David. We realize, Father, that sometimes healing doesn't always look like we think it's going to look. But just like a newborn baby is totally dependent upon its parents, we too are totally dependent on you, Father. And we thank you because you, Lord, are forgiving and good and abounding to all who love you and all who call upon you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.